asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances.
So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Explore the tropics at Whole Foods Market through April 16th. Save on juicy finds like yellow mangoes at 5 for $5 with Prime. Sweet Dacopan citrus is back, just $3.49 per pound with Prime. Plus, save on seasonal favorites like dragon fruit, kiwi, pineapple, and more. In the meat department, pick up animal welfare certified meats with tropical-inspired marinades. And be sure to try the spicy Hawaiian pizza, back for a limited time. Only at Whole Foods Market.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing dirt cheap groceries, worthless warranties, and paused payments.
Paused payments from the inflection that we're using here.
It sounded like Ron Burgundy there.
We are asking the question, and you might be thinking, yeah, we are going to talk about student loans like you might be suspecting that we are. But we've got several stories that we're going to get to. We're just going to go through all the ones that matter the most to you.
That's right.
And so that's why you're listening to our Friday flight today. But Joel, real quick, I wanted to share something with you. In the past, I've hated on Costco a little bit.
It didn't go unnoticed.
We recorded an entire episode.
By our listeners or by me, sir.
Where we were doing like an Aldi versus Costco. Because at that point in life, I was 100% Aldi. And that being said, if there was an Aldi really close to us, I think we'd be like 98% Aldi. because of all the aforementioned reasons in that one episode. But the fact is, we do not have an Aldi nearby where we live now, which means we are spending a lot more time at Costco.
Now you're literally in between an Aldi and a Costco,
yep.
Right? Each one is 7 or 8 minutes away.
Exactly.
Neither one's the hyper biking convenient necessarily.
Exactly, but. Yeah. And so because of that, we are kind of, you know, walking through the aisles in the Costco, seeing all the interesting things actually as well, right? Because at Aldi, they kind of have more of like the basic staples, which is how we've done it for the longest time. It's allowed us to keep our grocery bills low. But Costco's got like these surprise delightful products. And we were there recently and they've got this Japanese barbecue sauce. They had it out and we sampled it. And we literally went back because, you know, you just get the samples and you kind of move on with your shopping.
Yeah. Typically, I'm thinking of it as free food.
Yeah. It's like a little perk for being a Costco member.
Like, oh, you can find it over there. I'm like, cool, thanks.
Yeah. Oh, I'll have to think about that. We literally went back and picked the stuff up because it was so stinking good. Honestly, I think it's like a combination of barbecue sauce and soy sauce. It's got some like ginger, some other stuff in it. But it made me think back because when we first moved up here, like I had asked you some of your favorite Costco products or something like that. And I'm totally going to mention this as one of like my new number one picks or whatever at Costco, because we normally are very kind of bare bones. Like we buy a block of cheese, you know, like we get basic plain Jane items normally. But now that we're going to Costco, we're being tempted a little bit and we're getting like a, like this premium product. This isn't something that you would normally.
Fancy.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit fancy. Well, it's a bottle of sauce though, you know?
Right, right.
And I did look it up. It's like the price that they're selling it for at Costco is like half the cost that you can buy it anywhere else.
I bet per ounce. I'm sure that's
true. Oh my
gosh.
Yeah. But I'm making this recommendation because it's a delightful product and it's got this cute little Japanese looking octopus on the front of it as well.
Well, and so much depends store to store, the product that Costco carries, it can vary. Like some.
Oh, does it?
Some stores might have, like our Costco doesn't have a great beer selection, but some Costco's, like my friend in California says, no, they carry some good stuff. You can get a case of great beer in Costco.
Oh,
but so, you know, some folks might have this Japanese barbecue sauce. Others might not.
I wonder
not.
If that's more of an alcohol thing as well.
Yeah. And one other thing I wanted to say, piggybacking on that, Matt, is that, yeah, there are all sorts of interesting, unique products. The Costco buying team does a great job on that front. And they're often way cheaper than you can get them anywhere else because of Costco's philosophy and how they price products. But Kirkland Signature products is something we've talked about before. There was this really fascinating article last week. I think it was in CNN Business. About how Kirkland Signature came to be. And a lot of different stores have a bunch of different private labels. Costco has one. And the impetus behind Costco and how they do Kirkland Signature, so much of it is about higher quality. So oftentimes, at least years ago, this has become less the case, store brands were, and we're actually going to talk about this in a second, store brands used to be kind of inferior most of the time. That's no longer the case. That's especially not the case at Costco. Those Kirkland Signatures sometimes are better than the name brand, at least in my opinion, and I think in a lot of other people's.
All that to say, I'm a little worried now that I'm being inundated with all of these premium luxury grocery items that you can buy at Costco that we're going to see our grocery budget wrecked. But for now, at least, if you see the Japanese barbecue sauce, it's definitely something maybe worth checking out. But let's keep moving, man. We are going to go through some of the sampling of stories that we found this week that we thought would be most relevant to listeners out there. And Joel, this first one's a Frugal or Cheap.
Okay.
It's a story. So this isn't just kind of a question that we're asking each other. Would you buy used workout clothes? Reason we're asking that is because the Journal had an article about that this week. More folks are opting to purchase, for instance, Lululemon yoga pants.
But the used variety.
The used version. They've got like an entire site dedicated. It's like, I forget what it's called, like New or something like that. But it's a sub-site within the Lululemon website where they're only selling stuff that's like New.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I'm initially repulsed by the idea of wearing someone else's used workout gear. Like,
really?
Well, you sweat. At least when I work out, which is, you know, not as often as I like it to be, I sweat like a monster. And I can't imagine somebody else sweating on this thing for 6 months or a year and then me being like, oh, cool, I'll buy that shirt. It's so different than buying a t-shirt. I'm all about thrift stores and buying t-shirts there or whatever.
I don't see it being all that different.
Oh, it's so different.
Okay, so yes, you do sweat, but
it's like the underwear section in a thrift store. It's like, who does
that's
that?
That's one step further, right?
It's closer to that than it is to regular clothing.
Well, at least with the Lululemon use site, most of the stuff they're selling are pants. They're like pants and shorts, and in that case, you literally have a layer between your skin, for the most part, between your skin and the item of clothing. And so shirts, I could see how buying a used workout shirt might feel a little, like they talked about it in the article.
There's a layer for a small portion of the pants, lot of that pants are directly attached to your leg, homie.
Oh man, I have zero hesitation about, I sort of get it with a shirt because it truly is getting soaked in sweat. But even still, as long as it's being, like, it's less about what they talked about in this article, they called it the ick factor.
Yeah.
It's less about that in my mind, and it's more about how well was it cared for? Because if it's really worn out, then it's going to look pretty shabby. Right. But that's also going to give you the most opportunity for savings.
And I know Lululemon makes nice stuff, and I'm not sure if it's worth the price or not because I've never owned any other clothing. But my guess is you could get, like, for less money, something that's new of comparable make and quality that is just a different name brand, you know, maybe not, but that's where I would choose rather to go get my workout clothing at Target or something like that instead of getting used Lululemon stuff.
Yeah, so this is kind of like a quality over quantity kind of question, and that's sort of a topic that we've been talking about more recently.
Quality over ick factor, I guess.
Yeah, so we'll end up talking more about this in the future.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on. Let's talk about inflation for a second, Matt, and food inflation in particular, because it's still a real problem that every U.S. consumer is facing. You just alluded to that. Like, your home budget for groceries is likely going up. I'm curious to hear kind of how that shakes out over the next, you know, quarter, or even how it's shaken out so far this year. Maybe share with us the numbers soon.
How Costco isn't going to end up saving us money. It ends up costing us more money because now we're buying Himalayan salt potato chips.
But it might make your life more enjoyable. But let's drill down on this one specific segment of the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, for a second, because it turns out the cost of eating out is going up less quickly than the cost of groceries. So I'm talking about eating at home, of course, when you're talking about groceries.
Yeah.
And the Labor Department numbers reveal that groceries are 13.1% more expensive than they were a year ago, but that restaurant prices have increased only 7.6% year over year. And more restaurants are starting to use these inflation stats in their marketing, encouraging us to get out there and save money by hitting up their restaurants. It begs the question, Matt, should we be eating more of our meals out because of this reality that inflation is impacting eating out prices less than it's impacting the price of eating at home?
Sounds like a marketing campaign for lazy people.
That's right. Yeah. Basically, we would say, what? This is a marketing trap. And it's obviously still more expensive, even though the numbers have gone up more on groceries that you buy. You're going to save more by cooking your own meals. It's not that you should never go out to eat. It's just that don't fall prey to the person who's like, see, it's cheaper to go out to eat now. And it's like, nah, that's not really how it works.
Yeah. You can do the thing, but just do it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Don't do it thinking that, oh, this is going to be better for my wallet.
This is my money savvy move.
That is not the case.
Eating at restaurants every night.
All right. Actually, speaking of groceries, we always talk about how where it is that you shop makes the biggest difference. Specifically, Aldi. We talk about Aldi and Lidl. Those two specifically are two of our favorite everyday low-cost spots. Costco might make it into the lineup. We'll see how things shake out. But
they're still on probation for you, right? Probation.
They are. I'm a little suspicious of how things are going to end up. Well, there's another competitor worth considering, and that is something that we've rarely talked about here on the show, which are salvage grocery stores. The Times just had an article about those types of stores, and it might just be your best bet, because some of the foods carried in these stores, they are just outside of their sell-by or their best-by dates. But that doesn't mean that you can't eat them. There are also going to be random items that were just considered unsellable by traditional grocery stores. There might be a box that got ripped open, or like a set of labels that were discolored or printed oddly.
New kinds of Oreos with an odd flavor that didn't really sell very well.
The Christmas Oreos, they're still sitting there.
Boom, let's give them to the salvage store.
Exactly. Yeah, it's September, it's August, and well, we're eating the Halloween Oreos from last year. Hey, just hang on to those. And
exactly.
They're still good to go for Halloween this year.
I think those pumpkin spice lattes are back already, Matt.
So we mentioned this because if you're feeling the pinch of higher grocery prices, you might want to check out your nearest salvage grocery store. And the best way to find the closest one to wherever you are is this great site. It's buysalvagefood.com. We'll make sure to link to this awesome site in the show notes, but they've got this search feature where it's got the entire United States. You click on your state and it shows you all the different locations within your state where it is that you can buy discounted food.
I found that there's one just 15 minutes north of where we are.
Yeah.
Want to go check it out? I used to go to one in college in Greenville, South Carolina for a couple years.
Nice.
And it's a different experience, but you can save a ton of money.
Yes.
And not all salvage grocery stores are created equal. So you're going to want to check out the one or two closest to you to kind of see, well, does it work in my life? And how much money can I save? But the reality is the savings can be substantial.
Yeah, you're most likely always going to save money, but what can you get there? Are you going to be able to do the majority of your shopping there? That's the question.
Because
sometimes they don't have the most variety. They don't have the typical things that you're needing in the day-to-day.
Although some of them do look a lot more like traditional grocery stores than you would expect, with like fresh produce and stuff like that. So it's worth kind of taking a look around and seeing what your community has.
Yeah, and speaking of, okay, so it makes me think, so I used to go to this one right after college, wasn't making a ton of money. It was when I was living in North Carolina, and the variety of foods that it can introduce you to is also really cool, right? And so in particular, this store always had smoked Gouda and tons of it. And so they were selling it for so cheap. And you know what? I never had smoked Gouda before in my life. Maybe I didn't grow up eating fancy cheeses, you know? But I was introduced to smoked Gouda because it was sitting there, and it was like 50 cents for a block of it or something. And I'm thinking, well, dang straight, I'm going to try some smoked Gouda. But now I enjoy smoked Gouda. And before that, I had never been introduced to that before. And so what I'm saying is that there's the ability for some new culinary discoveries, and that might add some value to your life.
There you go. I like it. I like it. So, yeah, we'll link to that site in the show notes. And kind of like we were talking about earlier, Matt, you know, what the reality is, you can trade down to a cheaper grocery store. Let's say you shop at Whole Foods and you go to shop at Aldi. You're going to save a lot of money just by making that one decision. Mm-hmm. The same thing is true if you go from even Aldi to your local salvage grocery store and you end up buying more of your groceries there. You're going to save a lot more money.
There's always movement. There's always steps that you can take.
Yeah. Economists call that trading down, right? That is that is the step that you're taking. You don't necessarily want to feel like you're trading down, but it's not always some sort of bad trade-off. It's just going to shop someplace that is less expensive. And the data is reflecting that Americans are doing this more right now because, you know, inflation is a pest and economic conditions are tightening. And so people are legitimately hitting up Applebee's for dinner instead of maybe their white tablecloth restaurant, or they're hitting up Walmart instead of a more expensive retailer that they prefer to visit in order to save money. And so we would say that is one way to trade down, but you don't necessarily have to go to another store in order to get that trade down effect. You can trade down from buying boneless, skinless chicken breast to chicken thighs, or you can
which tastes better, by the way.
Yeah, they taste better and
more flavor,
like a third of the cost. and then you can trade down from, and I like both of these things, Brussels sprouts and green beans. You like to say I don't like vegetables, but I do.
Well, you have a very limited scope in what vegetables
that's
you
true.
Like.
But so let's say Brussels sprouts are $4 a pound and green beans are $2 a pound. That's one way to trade down and save money. Just eat a cheaper vegetable. And we would say those little trade-offs matter. You can either go with the big trade-offs from, you know, a more expensive store to a less expensive store, or even just make those smaller trade-offs when you're in the store that you like to go to, maybe that you don't want to leave. That can help you save money too.
That's right. Yeah, all of those small decisions add up. So going back to the eating out at restaurants in order to save money sort of marketing campaign, I think, you know, what's going on here is a lot of fast food chains are raking in massive profits because more folks are eating at these more affordable chains like IHOP and Applebee's, things like that. And I think these different campaigns that are out there now where it's just like, oh, hey, you can save money by coming to this fast food restaurant. It's just them
eating good in the neighborhood, homies.
It's them taking the data and twisting it a little bit because really, I mean, the fact is, folks who, like, when you feel rich, you go to the nicer restaurant, right? When it seems like you've got a lot of money on hand, you're not really cutting corners. You're getting the fancy wine. I mean, just think back to the pandemic when we got the stimulus checks. Remember the explosion in like the premium liquors and mm-hmm. wines and stuff? I mean, there are stories all across the board that that's what was going on. We haven't seen a story.
I don't drink no bottom shelf bourbon anymore.
No, exactly. They're not reporting to this directly, but I guarantee we are seeing the opposite of that now. And that is exactly what's happening with restaurants. Folks, they're not going to their nicer local fine dining cuisine restaurant. They're going to the chains. They're going to the more affordable options. And what that means is that these chains are seeing a lot of profits mm-hmm. these days. And I think it's a way for them to talk about how they're doing well. It's about positioning, and they don't want to position themselves as like the discount fast food place.
Right, even though that's what they are.
Even though that's what they are. Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, let's talk about student loans here for a second, Matt, because the question that I asked at the beginning of the episode, are payments going to get paused? Well, we're not sure.
That's what everybody wants to know.
If that pause is going to get extended right now, things are still up in the air. And I'm sure for a lot of folks, their student loans have kind of become out of sight, out of mind, which is not necessarily a good thing. Hopefully, How to Money listeners have been preparing for the eventual resumption of those payments. But the ambiguity, I would say, of whether payments are going to resume or not is pretty crappy. I wish people just knew. I wish there was like some sort of firm deadline. And technically there is, but all the signs behind the scenes are pointing to the likelihood that the payment pause is going to be extended. But if it is, it's going to be done on really short notice because payments are set to resume in a couple of weeks, or less than a couple of weeks now, right? And so federal student loan servicers, they've made it sound like they aren't preparing to begin taking payments again, that they're not ready, which seems crazy to me. They've had 2.5 years to get ready for that. I know there's been a lot of shifting in the background, but hopefully we'll have more info for you next week. But at this point in time, it looks like they won't begin, but that doesn't mean you don't need to be ready for them to begin.
Yeah.
Like we still need, you got to be prepared.
It's been 2.5 years since a lot of Americans have had a budget line item for their student loan payment. That's a really long time, but even still, like as of now, we would suggest that you plan for the reality that you might have to start paying again come September. By the way, there is an interesting piece in the New Yorker about how a larger chunk of student loan debt is now being held by folks who are nearing retirement age, because 1 in 5 student loan debtors are over the age of 50 years old. And that is also the demographic with the largest jump in overall balances as well, which is incredibly horrifying.
Yeah.
That you've got folks who are entering into retirement and they still got these student loans. They're typically their kids' student loans around their necks. And so we wanted to share this because we're not fans of debt, but student loan debt, it's nearly impossible to shake, and it's haunting people into their 60s and into their 70s. Parent plus loans in particular, they're the absolute worst, and our advice is to basically avoid them at all costs. And if that means going to a cheaper school, so be it. We think that that can be a great path for you to take, because, you know, taking on that debt going into your golden years, we do not feel that that is worth it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what a perilous situation to be in your 60s or 70s and still having tens or maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loans dangling around your finances, impacting your ability to retire. And it seems like this selfless act to basically help your child pay for their college. But the reality is you need to have a different conversation about how they're going to pay for college and where they should be going to college, and not just take it on the chin yourself as someone who's getting up there in age, because you're not doing yourself or your child any favors by making that happen.
Unless, I will say, if there are changing expectations, I think then I'm okay maybe seeing things shift a little bit, but that is not something that we've heard a lot of folks talk about. Instead, it's just oftentimes parents getting stuck with these things. And unfortunately, I think we might see the results of this, like the ripple effects of this down the road might be an entire generation of folks having to take care of their parents because they have been paying on their student loans, on their kids' student loans, rather than saving for their retirement.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. All right. Well, last story before we get to the break, Matt, and since we're talking about retirement, well, Social Security turned 87 this week. Did you make a birthday cake for it or anything?
I did not.
Okay. No. Well, and you just celebrated your 15th anniversary with your wife.
That's
this
right.
Week, so congratulations to you.
Was it last year we talked about making it to Hawaii? Yeah, definitely didn't. We did not make that happen. Oh my gosh.
That's why Matt is sleeping in the proverbial doghouse.
Trying to make a move and all the other things that have changed within our lives for the past couple months. We're like, you know what? Maybe it'll be 16. Like, who says it has to be on a big 10 or 15 or 20? Traditionally, I know that's what people do.
Yeah. You're not the traditional
kind of
guy.
It's just a number. That's what Kate told me.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
I was like, all right, babe. Yeah. Hey.
I'll take that. I'll run with it. Well, Social Security is 87. It's geriatric now, just like the people, its recipients. And is it going to be around? I guess a lot of people have the question, is it going to be around for me if I'm in my 20s or my 30s? Matt and I, we think so, although it needs a few tweaks to the program. And if you want to know our thoughts on the future of Social Security, we would suggest you checking out our episode 413. We had some thoughts on how to preserve Social Security for future generations, and hopefully some comforting stats to let all of our younger listeners know that Social Security will be a part of your retirement. Like, we'd be shocked if Social Security didn't make it into triple digits. All right, Matt, we've got more to get to, including a sign-up bonus, a new sign-up bonus for a credit card that has never offered one. We'll talk about that and more right after this. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000 plus 5-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in 5 delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's KACHAVA.com/howtomoney. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So, if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry, Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week
at the beach.
Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, we are back from the break. And per usual, as always, we are going to get to our ludicrous headline of the week.
Never gets old.
And this,
love this segment.
It's good because it helps us to highlight either just sometimes like stupid headlines that are out there, or just folks who are misbehaving, companies in particular who are misbehaving. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, because this one actually comes from our local TV station, WSB. And the headline read, extended warranty companies refuses to pay for car repairs, costing customers thousands of dollars. WSB, they took a company called Car Shield to task in this TV piece because they, Car Shield, they are refusing to pay out on customer claims. And they're leaving folks who thought that they were covered in the lurch. And it turns out, like a lot of mechanics, they don't even work with these third-party warranty companies because they're so notorious for actually not footing the bill, for not paying it. They're having to, like some of these mechanics are even charging these warranty companies fees because they're taking so long to even get back to them as to whether or not they're gonna work on the car.
You're past due on this payment, so you got to pay 10% extra.
They're charging them like literally like a storage fee of these vehicles that are inoperable that they're having to keep around on their lots. And you know, zooming out a little bit, it's not that you can't get a legitimate extended warranty from your car's manufacturer, because you definitely can, in particular from straight from the manufacturer, but it's the third party policies in particular that are almost always complete pieces of crap and are just, going to be a waste of your money. Actually, Consumer Reports, they call these types of car warranties an expensive gamble. And some recent research by them reveals that the majority of folks never make a claim under that warranty. And even when they do, the average person ends up actually losing money because it would have been cheaper to just pay for those repairs yourself. I think the average cost of, maybe the median car extended car warranty from a manufacturer was something like $1,200.
Yeah.
But then the average payout amount was only like $800-something.
Exactly, yeah.
So folks are they're paying.
So even when you use it, you still lose.
You're still losing, even though emotionally you might feel a little bit better because you're like, I don't have to worry about that. It's like, no, you still would have come out ahead had you just done this yourself.
It's not that if like your engine and transmission don't fail and the warranty actually comes through that you didn't come out ahead, but most people don't, right?
Exactly.
And so most people would be better off self-insuring, having more money in the bank, and just forgetting these extended warranties altogether, especially the crappy third-party ones that are typically you're going to be footing the bill anyway.
Yeah.
You're going to be paying the money to fix it yourself because they won't, and you're going to be paying them money that really goes nowhere. Just goes to line their pockets.
It's hardly worth the money, or it's hardly worth the paper that it's written on, because if you can't even get them to pay for the repairs, then what's the point of even doing it?
Yeah.
And Consumer Reports, they found that most folks were paying for this because they wanted that peace of mind.
Uh-huh.
But man, paying over $1,200 for some peace of mind is pay for your own peace of mind.
Right.
Get that money in the bank.
Yes.
And when you have that money sitting there in a bucket, in a special fund to cover these kind of costs, that will allow you to sleep at night and remove some of that stress.
Yeah.
And something else, dude, I was thinking through how, like, why is it that people are paying for these things when they know that it's typically an inferior product? And I think it's because car purchases, in particular, folks who are buying newer cars, it's such a large purchase. And oftentimes, they're not paying cash for those purchases, right? And so they get emotionally talked into tacking on these warranty programs.
It's often a product that is sold and not bought.
It's sold and it's being financed, right? Because they're not paying hard cash for these warranties. They're typically rolled into the car loan. And so you're thinking, well, what's another $1,200?
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal.
It's like $8 a month on the every car payment.
That's nothing. Like, I'm already dropping $40,000, $50,000 on this brand new vehicle. What's $1,000 for that peace of mind?
Mm-hmm.
Which is even worse because now, obviously, you're not likely to take advantage of it. But now you're paying more because you're having to pay interest on that amount as well.
Yeah. Well, and it just makes me think of insurance in general because extended warranties are basically a type of insurance, right?
Just a very crappy piece of insurance.
A really trashy one that is going to cost you a lot of money. But of course, some types of insurance are a smart buy for people. We like term life insurance, for instance. It's unlikely that you're going to die at 35, but if you do, your family's going to be glad that you paid $18 a month for that $500,000 policy, right?
Sure.
And it's a very inexpensive, not just peace of mind, but actual coverage that you have. We'll link to an article that we wrote about life insurance on our site and kind of how you can decipher how much you need.
Life insurance, that's a legit form of insurance that you need.
Exactly.
Especially if you have dependents or anybody counting on your income.
And let's talk about another legit form of insurance that's actually ridiculously cheap, and that is renter's insurance. The New York Times actually had an article about that this week, and they specifically were writing about the necessity for college students to have this insurance. And as schools kind of getting back in session, it's a type of insurance that more young folks really should consider. And part of the reason is because it is so ridiculously cheap.
Mm-hmm.
We would say check with your insurance company to see how much it would be to add that policy, that renter's insurance policy. It legit could be cheaper than your Netflix subscription because even if you don't get it through your current insurer, there's a online insurance company called Lemonade, and they're another cool company worth checking out. Their renter's insurance policies, Matt, start at $5 a month.
Super cheap.
Let's say your backpack gets stolen and there's a laptop in there or some books from class. And you know how expensive those books are. Probably almost as expensive as your laptop. Being able to get paid out and replace those items with this relatively cheap insurance policy is going to be important for a lot of college students. And so, yeah, not all insurance products make sense. There's a lot that don't, but some policies really can save your hide, and especially some of these super cheap ones provide some of that most important coverage that you need.
That's right. Yeah. Check with your insurance provider to see if that is something that you can add. And also, actually, before you even do that, check and see if you already have what's called off-premise coverage on that policy, because if you've got a student off at college, your homeowner's policy might cover their possessions off at college as well.
Yeah.
It's oftentimes a less amount, right? It's not the full, it's like 10% typically of like the overall amount that you might have on your possessions, but that might be something that you're already paying for. So we just don't want you to go out there and get that sweet lemonade coverage because it sounds so approachable. And you're like, oh, lemonade, that's the kind of company I want to do business with. But you don't want to be overinsured.
Well, and one last thing, be careful before you file a claim, know what your deductible is and know whether or not that's going to raise your rates in the future. Because if your deductible is really low and you're tempted to file a claim because it's a $500 deductible, well, for a $1,000 laptop, ultimately, in the end, that's probably going to be a bad financial move because your rates on your premiums are going to go up and it's going to be harder for you to switch to another insurance company in the future. So in particular, if we're talking about filing a claim on a homeowner's policy that has this additional off-dwelling coverage and you're making a claim that way, there's a chance that even though it looks like in the short term, you're coming out ahead, in the long term, you're not gonna.
Yep, that's right, man. So, another interesting tidbit that crossed our path this week was about investing. And it turns out that demand for financial advisors actually goes down when folks opt for a target date fund. A new paper from the Boston College Department of Finance found that folks tend to seek out the warm embrace of a financial advisor the older they get and the more assets that they've accumulated.
Or just on Friday nights. when they're lonely.
When they're lonely, when they're sitting there by themselves. But this makes sense, obviously, right? When you've got more on the line, it seems like something that you want to have a little more guidance, someone there holding your hand. But folks who opt for those target date funds inside of their 401ks are actually, they're far less likely to seek advice overall, and largely because it feels like that the target date fund is in control on your behalf. And so, you know, getting advice from an advisor, it might be helpful at different points with, you know, within your life. We're not against you seeking out the advice of a financial advisor. We talked about this in depth back in episode 206. But I love seeing how just picking the set it and forget it target date fund, how that can inspire confidence and it can keep folks just marching down the DIY investing path where they're not necessarily dependent on somebody else to provide them with the quote unquote right investing advice. Because, you know, these low cost target date funds from Vanguard, Fidelity and Schwab, these are all really great and what we would recommend, especially if you're interested in taking the path where you are looking to keep your investments simple, where you're not trying to overthink things. Target date funds are great for those types of folks.
For sure. Yeah, and another somewhat nerdy article, Matt, this week that kind of piggybacks on that a little bit was from the Financial Times. And so this was interesting. It upended, I think, some historic investing wisdom. So we felt like we had to tackle this one because this article argued that active funds, actively managed index funds or actively managed mutual funds often actually outperform passive ones. And you and I, we always talk about passive index funds and target date funds on this show. That's what we're typically pointing people towards. So I was like, wait a second. Have we been screwing up?
Maybe this should have been our ludicrous headline where it's just like, wait a minute.
Yeah. And it could have been. But we don't think that you need someone actively choosing investments on your behalf. But then I started to ask, well, have I been wrong all these years? Are Matt and I, have we been in error? And it's obviously important for us to acknowledge when new information comes to light. But the most interesting tidbit, Matt, from this article, from the study that influenced this article, was that those actively managed funds outperform those passive funds. But it's before we start talking about fees in the equation, right?
It's not that they all overperform.
They chose like, what, 30-something funds, and they said passive versus active equivalent, and a lot of the actives did by half a percentage point outperform some of their passive peers. But when you factor in the fees, the active investors still come out on the losing end of the stick. And so it's not that actively managed funds can't outperform. It's just that the fees are so much higher that you'll still lose out in the end. It makes me think of this old Morningstar study, something from 2010, it was like 12 years ago, about Morningstar said, what's more meaningful to picking a good investment? Is it our fund ratings or is it the fees you're going to pay? And I'm shocked Morningstar even published this because they found that the fees were way more important than their fund rating, right? Yeah. Yep. So you can pick a 4-star Morningstar fund, which is like their top rating. And it's going to be a good fund in all likelihood, right? Depending on whether it fits your investing needs.
It'll be solid.
Yeah.
They're not ripping you off.
Right. But the fees are more indicative than the fund ratings. And the fees are more indicative than actively or passively managed funds. Like the fees are really at the heart of what makes a good investment in so many ways.
Yeah, and when you look at funds here in the U.S., last year, 80% of actively managed funds didn't beat their passive counterparts. But even of that 20% that's remaining, that did outperform their passive counterparts, yeah, there's fees there. And so, boom, it automatically gets demoted, and the passive funds come out ahead again. And this is why that we are such big fans of index funds, in particular the ones that track the total stock market or the S&P 500.
And it's just so freaking simple that you don't really have to think about it too much, which is nice.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, we talked about the Inflation Reduction Act, which we're not going to call the IRA because of the confusion that might occur because of that. But that officially became law on Tuesday, and there are actually quite a few things that will impact everyday Americans who want to make some of those what did we call it last week?
Greenification
changes to your home.
I just want a new word in Urban Dictionary, and I want it credited to How to Money.
We should just create a new word every single week. But the federal government is willing to help, you know, to pay for those upgrades starting next year, and we're going to give you a rundown in next week's newsletter, so be sure to sign up in order that you don't miss that. That's going to go out this coming Tuesday, and we're going to break it all down within that newsletter.
It's easy. easy to get, by the way. howtomoney.com/newsletter. Boom.
Can't forget the URL.
Pop that email address in, and you got it. By the way, it's free, and it's awesome.
Exactly. We would recommend that you sign up. But one of the things that we mentioned last week was that a big chunk of electric vehicles are not likely to qualify for a tax credit under the new law. And we'll actually link to a Consumer Reports article in our show notes outlining which vehicles are likely to qualify under this new law. Looks like the Chevy Bolt is going to qualify. And if that remains true, we're talking about folks being able to buy a brand new electric vehicle that's going to be below $25,000.
That would be impressive.
Which is super impressive.
Yeah.
Even your Rivian's going to be looks like it's going to be on there. Not like all decked out, so you can't trick out your
Same
Rivian.
Same with some of the Ford F-150 trucks. Although, like we talked about last week, those are more expensive. So even though they might
more expensive
qualify for the federal tax credit, well, the price just went up $8,000 on those. So it's kind of a wash.
Yeah, exactly. So keep that in mind as you are, if you happen to be in that position and you're thinking about an electric vehicle in the future. It is important to know of some of these different tax incentives that exist.
Yeah, and one final thing to mention on today's episode. Just a quick credit card recommendation for you guys. This is a credit card that we have mentioned for years now as being one of the best everyday cashback credit cards for folks to use. And it's not that you can't get super intelligent and hyper-focused with the best credit card for spending at the gas station and for the best credit card when you're dining out or the best credit card for travel. But for every other purchase, using some sort of generic 2% cashback card is really smart. And the Citi Double Cash has always been one that we've recommended, Matt, but it's never had a sign-up bonus, at least that I know of.
No, yeah.
Until now. And so, yeah, you can get $200 for signing up for this card and meeting a spend amount in the first few months. And so, no annual fee, 2% cash back on everything you buy. It's a killer card. We'll link to it in the show notes. It's one of those that, depending on what card you're using now, let's say, you could be missing out on meaningful cash rewards for stuff that you're buying every day. And when there's a sweet signing bonus on top of it, it's like, slam dunk.
It's a no-brainer. Especially, this is like one of those, this is an evergreen kind of card. It's always been really solid. And this is the card I use for all of my online purchases. I go laser focused. So I've got other cards. I've got better cards for my in-person purchases, which are typically groceries, gas, restaurants, but for all of the online purchases, I always use the Citi Double Cash card. That's a system that works at least for me. And speaking of systems, obviously you need to make sure that you are not going into debt. We enjoy the perks of credit cards, but only if you are not paying any money in interest. If you can promise us that, then you have our blessing.
Yeah.
But if you can't do that, then just skip it altogether.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't get the credit cards if you can't use it properly. And a lot of people trick themselves into thinking that, cool, I'll get this card and I'll get the rewards, but then they don't pay it off in full and they end up paying more in interest and it ends up being a losing proposition. So
we don't
want you in that position. But Matt, that's going to do it for this episode. Again, go sign up for the How to Money newsletter so you can get some more money saving info broken down for you about the Inflation Reduction Act next week. And come back here on Monday because we got a killer Ask How to Money episode lined up for you. And we hope you have a great weekend. And Matt, I guess that's going to do it. So until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV, and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say "free this week" into your Xfinity voice remote.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, the values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.